The Walking Dead Season 5 Episode 13 is over, but we are just getting started here on The Walking Dead Live on post-show recaps. And now, here are the two guys who are the envy of everybody because we just picked up a new pasta maker. I'm Rob Sister. Here's Josh Wiggler.
Oh, man, I can't wait for spaghetti. Are we doing Spaghetti Tuesdays again? Is Spaghetti Tuesdays back in session?
Back.
Where's Herschel? Where's Herschel when you need him?
It's back. Mrs. Niedermeyer is so jelly because we are making pasta.
And we are not letting her in on the secret, right?
Sorry.
Like, she's just going to commandeer that thing and just be over all the time. It's not a good idea.
That recipe dies with us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we're going to die very soon, I'm pretty sure. We're just not long for this zombie apocalypse anyway, Rob. So maybe she'll get her pasta maker after all.
That's right. Here we go, Josh. And now we are back here. Josh and I are back together again on a Sunday night talking Walking Dead Season 5, Episode 13. Forget this one. And last week was called Remember. Which is it?
I don't know. Did you forget me, Rob, because I was gone for 2 weeks?
I did not. I cannot and I will not.
Okay, good. I hope you guys didn't forget me, too. I didn't forget you. I remembered you and now I'm back.
Now you're back.
Everything, all is well. All is well.
Now you're back. All is well. And
I was recruiting. I was recruiting for the podcast, Rob. I was out on the road.
You were on the road. All right. We're going to talk about everything that happened in a wild night in Alexandria. A lot to talk about and interesting interactions. I feel like this is one of the weirder Walking Dead episodes, I think, that we've ever talked about.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I would also say one of my favorite Walking Dead episodes that we've watched together since we've been podcasting together. I really loved this episode. This was way up my alley. I always say when The Walking Dead can be weird, when it can do something a little differently than how it normally takes care of business, I'm all aboard. I am game for that. And it does not get much weirder than a Walking Dead dinner party. That was pretty strange, and I thought it was pretty funny, too.
Yeah, that was weird. It was weird to see everybody in regular clothes. I can only imagine what it must have been like on the set for the people. Like, really? This is what I'm wearing on Walking Dead here today?
And yeah, so, everyone's in their plain clothes. Everyone looks so good.
Yeah. Like, where did they get clothes for everybody? Like, for instance, like Abraham's clothes. Like, where did is there, so like, a big and tall shop in Alexandria?
I have a question about Abraham's shirt choice. I don't know if anyone else picked up on this, but did you see like oil stains on his shirt? Did it look like a dirty shirt to you or was it just to me? It looked like he had like potato chip stains on the shirt, like as if Abraham, the first thing that he did in coming to Alexandria is like, they got potato chips here. Oh, my God.
And then did like one of, and then did like one of these like,
like, Abraham, we have napkins now. You don't need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So I thought that was a bizarre shirt choice, and the oil and shirt combo I thought was a little strange. But yeah, everyone's looking good. Everyone's looking sharp. You know, everyone's cleaning up. Everyone looks really good. It's nice.
Well, I think the big story first is Alexandria a place where our heroes, Graydon plus Rick and everybody, will they be able to integrate themselves here, or are they going to blow this? Because it's feeling like they're going to blow this.
Right. Is it going to go Graydon or is it going to go not so Graydon?
Yeah.
Is the question. I don't know. I do think that that's the question. And I think that that's what's really fun about this Alexandria storyline so far is, can we take these people who were turned into savages by the circumstances of this new world order and turn them into people again? Or are they irreversibly savages? Are they, you know, is someone like Carol, can you just throw a blouse on her and ask her to make cookies and have her resume that kind of Susie homemaker lifestyle that maybe she was living before the apocalypse started, and just ask her to do that again? Or has she seen too much nonsense? Has she seen too much of the world that we've spent these past five seasons on, with just, you know, blood and chaos, losing her daughter, having to kill people? Can you walk that back? And I think that that's the question right at the front of the series right now. And I think it's an interesting question. We've had these people encounter forms of civilization before. You know, I think that the closest cousin to Alexandria that I can think of is Woodbury. And it's almost like, what if everyone from Rick's group moved into a Woodbury situation where, at least for right now, it doesn't seem like the person in charge is a psychopath? So I think it's an interesting new reference for the show, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know. It's going to be a question to see if these guys can fit in.
Yeah, I felt like one of the key lines from the episode was talking about Buttons the horse.
Yeah, poor Buttons.
Poor Buttons the horse. That
everyone knows it's Buttons, that's me.
Daryl talked about the horses and said, you know, the longer they're out there, the more they become what they really are. And I wonder, have our heroes become what they really are? Is this their truest forms of themselves that they've become?
Yeah, well, I think that that is, you know, that's potentially the case for some of these people. You would hope not for some of them, because if that's so, then some of these people are just irreversibly screwed. Like Sasha, oh man, if this is who Sasha really is, then it's a scary person we're dealing with. Or if it's Daryl, then this is a person who at his core just really does not ever want to take a shower. So for the sake of everybody around them, let's hope that this is not who they are at their core.
Yeah, and I feel like it was an interesting direction for the show to go in. And again, I don't know how much of this is, you know, note for note from the comics, but to have our heroes deal with sort of like this adjustment period of sort of like, you know, similar in a lot of ways to what people must go through when they come back from like a war zone and try to reintegrate into society. And they struggle with it because they what they knew was hell, and now they're coming back to it. And you know, for instance, like when Sasha, when the woman says, well, I'm worried I might make something that you don't like. And Sasha, this is the same Sasha that killed a dog 2 weeks ago so they could eat something.
A bunch of dogs.
She wasn't worried if anybody wouldn't like it.
No, she wasn't. That was a really good moment where it was, you know, it was an intense moment just because Sasha is snapping and she's, you know, at such a fragile point. But it was also kind of funny that she just like yells, you know, rips this person's head off and says like, that's what you're worried about? You're worried about cooking me something I'm not going to like? So I thought that was actually kind of funny, but it is sort of emblematic of what a lot of these people are going through and just the idea that, these are very traumatized people. And I think that the reason why we saw so much of Sasha in this episode, why we started off with her and didn't quite end with her, but she was a focus of one of the final scenes of the episode, is because I think that there are a few characters right now on the show that I think you can really talk about, you know, personal trauma in such a precise way than you can with Sasha, who just lost her brother, had lost her boyfriend, you know, maybe a week before that. So Sasha has been through quite the ringer. And even though it seemed like they all got out of that, you know, figurative and literal storm from a few episodes back and everyone seemed to be okay, Sasha was still the one that seems a little shaky. So a person like Sasha, I don't know if she can recover from a situation like this. But you mentioned if you didn't know that you didn't know if the comics dealt with this kind of stuff. I'm actually really amazed at a lot of this Alexandria stuff is taking from the comics. There's a lot of stuff that they're doing that's original to the show just because they've gone so far in the direction of having to create their own original storytelling with characters that don't exist in the comics. But they're really being pretty faithful to a lot of the stuff from the comics. And one of those things is certain characters dealing with their ordeals from the road and how to process that as they're acclimating to something resembling civilization. So it's pretty cool. They're doing a good job with that.
Can you just spoil one thing for me? Does Daryl find the pasta maker for Mrs. Niedermeyer in the comics?
I can spoil that for you because Daryl doesn't exist in the comics.
Oh, yeah,
but I'm sure that if Daryl did exist in the comics, that pasta maker would be found over the course of a 6-issue story arc.
Yeah. Let's talk about the party without pasta maker. It was really one of the more odd sequences in the history of this show.
But wasn't that fun?
It was, sure.
You know, we're five seasons deep into this thing. It's very easy for a show like Walking Dead to just spin its wheels and do what it does. Like, we could just have them on the road fighting zombies, running away from zombies, finding more zombies, killing other zombies. Like, that could just be the entire show for five seasons now. And I really like it when the show does something totally different, unlike anything we've seen before. That's why I still to this day, I am a fan of those Governor episodes because it was different. You know, it was unlike anything we were doing. I see your face going in a certain direction, Rob. I know what you're thinking about those Governor episodes. I liked the Governor episodes. And I
Josh,
liked
thank you, my man.
I worked hard on those episodes.
Yes.
But I think that it's good when The Walking Dead messes around. And I think that it's hard for me to come up with an example of The Walking Dead just being weirder than it was tonight with a dinner party episode. That's so strange. And I thought that they did a really good job with it. You know, I don't think that you could give thumbs down to an episode that includes, you know, Carol's big cookie speech. I feel like there was a lot of gems in this episode.
Yeah, well, the cookie speech is definitely iconic, and we'll touch on that. But let's just talk through the dinner party and talk that through, and then we'll talk about Carol, who left cookies. The dinner party for the cookies. So what were the highlights from the dinner party for you?
Well, how about Rick creeping on a married woman? That was a little creepy.
All right, yeah, let's talk about that. So here's here's Jesse, and you know, it looked like last week that Jesse's husband, or we assume Jesse's husband.
Yeah, Jesse's husband.
Jesse's husband. He definitely seemed to be a little more hostile towards Rick. This week, he seemed much friendlier.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is in public. He's around people. I guess he doesn't want to come off as one of the many douches here in Alexandria. Dr. Douche. We already had a Dr. Douche, didn't we? Wasn't that the doctor at the Grady Hospital?
He never really got a chance. He seemed like he could have easily been a douche, but he never really had a chance to be a douche.
Well, he did set Beth up to kill that other doctor. That was kind of
douche. Well, that was, you know.
We can call this Dr. Douche 2 or Dr. Touche, if you'd like.
Dr. Douche 2.
So Dr. Touche is around, and he was seeming less douchey this time around than in his first appearance. That's for sure.
Except when he hit on Rick.
Was he hitting on Rick?
Well,
I guess he was.
Not quite.
He's like, I'm gonna take you to my place, and I'm gonna check you out.
Yeah, he's like, I guess I should have said I was a doctor first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Use that line on all the guys, doctor.
Yeah, and Jesse seemed to be into it. She's like, no, I like it the way you said that. Like,
whoa, oh boy.
Are we going for a threechum here?
Yes, you don't think we're going where we think we're going, right?
Yeah, the walking threechum.
Let me talk to you about this stamp, okay?
Yeah.
The A stamp. Now, did everybody there have it, or is that just a Jesse and Jesse's husband, Dr. Douche, too?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seemed like it was her son that was going around giving that to people, right? It was her son that was going around and giving the stamp to some people at the party. I didn't notice it on anyone else. And granted, you know, we're talking about this 5 minutes after the episode end, basically. So I haven't had a chance to go back and look. But I did notice it on the doctor, on Dr. Douche 2 before Rick got it written down on his hand. So I know that, you know, certain people at the party were having it. It was interesting. What do you make of the A stamp?
Well, I mean, I'm no literary expert, but when I see a character with an A branded on them, I think of a scarlet letter, and this is a story which could potentially involve adultery. Do you think that there's a connection there?
Is Rick Grimes the new Hester Prim?
Yeah, could there be? you know, Rick is trying to get this lady, I mean, he kissed her in front of everybody.
Grimes. Yeah.
That seemed out of character for Rick.
Well, Rick is, I don't know, Rick is one of those people who was, you know, of our group, I mean, among the most savage ones of this group. This is a guy who bit someone's throat out. That's pretty extreme. So, I mean, for him to go from having to live in that kind of lifestyle to, like, accepting whiskey from the boss's husband, I think it's a tough transition. So he probably doesn't, I don't know. He just like saw a girl and he kissed her and he liked it. I don't know. It was kind of like primal in a way. Wow. But yeah, I mean the Scarlet A, that's something. I think that there's also something interesting about the idea that the A means something new now. You know, he and everybody else at the end of season 4 were trapped in a train car labeled A. And they were going to be eaten by other human beings. And that was what their fate was once upon a time. Now they're once again trapped behind walls with A's branded on them, but it seems like a happier place. It doesn't seem like they're getting eaten anytime soon, at least not by people who are still alive. So I think it's interesting how the show has changed the meaning of the letter. When the letter A had such a terrible, terrible connotation before, now it seems to be it's rebranding itself.
What about Michonne and Abraham at the party?
Did you think that they were going to do it?
I don't know.
Speaking of adultery, like, did you think that Abraham was going to make the moves on Michonne and cheat on Rosita? He was like really kind of creeping on her as
well.
I mean,
you and I have talked about a Michonne Mance on the Feedback show as recently as this past week. And it definitely seemed like it was going that way. I wonder, could there be a love triangle with Abraham and Rosita and Michonne?
I don't know that I'm into it.
What?
Just to be honest, I don't know that I'm into the threesome between those three, or the love triangle between those three. The threesome between those three I might be into, but the love triangle I think I'm going to give the thumbs down to.
Okay, yeah.
I don't need that subplot. But it did seem like that's where it was going. I'm glad that they didn't do anything, and I hope that they don't, because that just seems like, that would just seem like one Michonne Mance too far. I feel like we've invested in the potential Rick and Michonne Mance, and I'm feeling that's where I want to go.
Yeah, I think Walking Dead may not know its audience particularly well if they're going to start going down the soap opera love triangle route.
Well, it depends on who they do it with, because I don't necessarily agree. I think they might know their audience really well if they do that with, like, Daryl and Carol and Aaron. I feel like that would be a love triangle that Tumblr would get a kick out of. Well, so I think that, you know, there's certain characters you could toss into a love triangle.
All right, how about this love triangle? Yeah. How about Daryl, Aaron, and Eric?
I know. How about that?
How about that, Josh Wigler?
Talk about that dinner party.
Guess who's coming to dinner? Daryl does not go to the dinner party with everybody. Instead, he has a nice pasta dinner with Aaron and Eric. What does it mean, Josh?
What does it mean? I like how Daryl Dixon eats spaghetti. No time to be polite.
Like George Costanza.
Yeah, he just wolfs it down. He looked like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean 2 with like the tentacle mouth. He just looked like a monster. It was amazing. Spaghetti monster Daryl Dixon is my new favorite Daryl Dixon.
Yes. All right, so you don't think...
Did you think... Yeah, let's talk about this. Did you think that the show was... You know, because it came up, you know, before the season started airing, all of this conversation about is Daryl Dixon gay? And Robert Kirkman, the creator of the show, came out and said, no, Daryl Dixon is not gay. We are introducing a prominent gay character from the comics later on. Turns out that is Aaron. And so he came out and said that Daryl Dixon is not gay. Is there any part of you that was thinking that this storyline was being built between Daryl and Aaron and Eric as... whether or not it was, oh, it turns out that Daryl actually is gay, or do you think that maybe the writers were having, you know, a little bit of a wink and a nod moment to the people who were following along that meta story? What did you think about that, Rob?
I think that, in my heart of hearts, I think that they're having fun with us right now.
I think so, too.
I mean, Daryl has never done anything, you know, he has not ever indicated in any way that he might be gay. And I feel like I can't imagine that he would just one day say, like, oh my God, I'm friends with these gay guys. They're awesome. I'm gay also, you know?
Well, I think that the thing about the Daryl Dixon sexuality thing is that there hasn't been much in the other direction as well. I mean, there are people who say, you know, Beth and Carol, and there was so much chemistry between them and Daryl, but
be asexual.
He's, you know, it's that's what it seems like, is he's been a fairly asexual character for a character that so many people have sexual feelings towards, from an audience perspective, myself included, to be honest. Daryl Dixon is a very attractive man.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why a lot of people had wondered whether or not Daryl could be gay, because as little evidence that there is that he's gay, there's, you know, little evidence that he's straight. It just does not seem like he has a preference. So I think that that's why that was really popping a lot in terms of fan theories before this season started. And then Kirkman comes along and crushes those theories with a baseball bat. And then here comes this episode where Daryl is, you know, hanging out with Aaron. And I know that there are a ton of people who thought that maybe this is where they were going. It did not turn out to be that way. But I think the writers were having fun with the people who had been following along with that little bit of theorizing that happened earlier in the season.
Well, we'll see what happens ultimately. I mean, we're going to set up where potentially Aaron and Daryl are going to be out on the road all these nights. Eric is home with a bum leg.
That's right. He is.
Could Aaron trade up?
I mean, it would be a trade up. I mean, you could, you could be married or in a relationship with just about anybody. And if you go from there to Daryl Dixon, it's an upward move.
With all due respect to Eric.
Yes.
He is no Daryl Dixon.
No Daryl Dixon, not as good with a crossbow, weak ankles. I think that going from
annoying.
Eric to Daryl is an upgrade. A little bit annoying, a little bit annoying.
Talking about Mrs. Niedermeyer's pasta maker at dinner.
Yeah, I don't think that that would be dinner conversation with Daryl Dixon if it was his preference. I don't think we'd be talking about Mrs. Needlemeyer at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would be an upgrade. But I don't know. I'm actually excited about this idea of Daryl becoming a recruiter for Alexandria. I think that's a cool idea for what to do with him, because as we mentioned a few minutes ago, Daryl is not a character that appears in the comics. So I'm as much in the dark as anybody else as to what they're going to do with Daryl in Alexandria. And that was one of the things that I was wondering about. It's like, you can't like you know, you can't cut Daryl's hair. You can't shave him. You can't bathe him too much. That's part of the appeal. Daryl Dixon's a dirty guy, and we like him for being so dirty.
Yeah, can Daryl be a recruiter if he doesn't clean up his image?
I don't know. I think that kind of we were concerned about the sharp dressed recruiter, Rob. So what about the dirty dressed recruiter? Mm. Maybe that's somebody you trust more. Maybe you trust somebody who looks like they've been in the shit a little bit.
Okay.
So I think it's a cool direction to take Daryl when it didn't seem like, when I certainly didn't have any clear idea for what they were going to do with Daryl. I think it's a cool idea to turn him into a recruiter.
I want to talk to you about the trifecta, the axis of power of Rick and Carol and Daryl. They're the ones really calling the shots for the group at this point. And they huddle up early in the episode and they talk about, hey, let's go in there. Let's open the latch. Let's go. Let's steal guns. Let's put them in this hideout. And we will, in case anything goes down, have a plan. And so they're all on board. But I feel like by the end of the episode, it almost seems like 2/3 of the trifecta are maybe not so hot on this plan anymore.
You mean Rick is also not so hot on the plan?
Yeah, I feel like Rick is feeling okay. And I feel like Daryl is feeling okay. And I feel like Carol is the only one who's up to stick to the plan.
Yeah. Carol is absolutely sticking to the plan. She loves the plan.
Yeah. She's the Keith Nail of Walking Dead.
Yeah, exactly. I like this trio though, as the power trio. I trust this council. This is a good council in my opinion.
Better than when it was like the tribunal at the jail where
when it was the actual council of Herschel and who is it?
Sasha
Maggie.
Was there. Yeah.
You know, this is fine, but this is a better crew. These are the people who I want deciding my fate in The Walking Dead. I feel like they've got a good handle on how to survive this world.
Okay.
Especially Carol.
Now, at the end of the episode, there was some odd things happening. All right. So Rick ends up sort of like we get like a musical ending to the episode, which was odd. Any significance to that song for you?
I don't know. I mean, it was like a happy sunshine song. I feel like it could be. Is it true that, you know, like happy days are ahead, or is it just something that's kind of messing with us? I don't know. We'll have to see.
So then the episode sort of ends with Rick hearing a walker out beyond the wall and Rick like putting his hand up against the wall to like touch the walker. What is up with that?
Mind melding. It's a mind meld.
Yeah. Was it a mind meld? Was it like the sort of thing where is Rick in prison and he wants to be out there?
Is he in prison and he wants to be out there? I don't know. I guess my read on it is he's this close to that world. Like it's such a thin wall that is separating, you know, the dinner parties from the dinner parties. You know, it's a very thin line between a civilized night eating, you know, finger food and tapas with your new neighbors, or being on the other side of the wall and being finger food for walkers. And I feel like that's the thing. And I don't know how shaky he is in terms of the alliance with him and Carol and Daryl. I kind of wonder if, you know, he's just trying to come to grips with this idea of can this work? And I feel like that at the end of the episode with him just, you know, being this close, just being like, you know, a few inches away from, you know, being able to hold hands with a walker. I think is a stark reminder for him and should be for us that, you know, the danger isn't gone. The danger is, you know, being held back by a very thin wall. And while things look really good right now, it wouldn't take much for things to go really south.
Okay. All right. So the end of the episode, also Rick saw Jesse and her husband, Dr. Douche too, and they walked by. And then Rick like sort of like reached around his back and was like going to like grab his gun. And I don't know if he was just checking to see it was still there. What did that mean to you, Josh?
Yeah, you know what? It reminded me, and I think we're going to get some questions on this. And certainly it's comments that I saw on Twitter, but it reminded me of Shane a little bit. That's like a classic Shane move of like creeping on a married woman from a distance and thinking about like shooting her man. Like that's classic Shane Walsh. So I kind of got some Shane vibes from Rick there, wondering, you know, is he is he coming after Dr. Touche? Is he going to take Dr. Touche out and then he's going to start going in on Jesse? Is that his plan?
Seems like a bad plan.
Seems like a bad plan, and I feel like Rick is many things, but normally he's not the guy with the worst plan in the room, and I feel like that would be the worst plan in the room.
That would be a questionable plan.
I wondered about that, but I just got some Shane vibes from that. I thought that was interesting.
Josh, we've gone too long without cookie talk.
Oh, we got to go to cookie talk.
Yeah.
We got to go to cookie talk. By the way, my wife can eat those cookies. That's a good thing because they're eggless. My wife is allergic to eggs, and I guess Carol makes her cookies with applesauce instead of eggs. So I'm gonna give that a shot.
Wow. Did that actually work, or was Carol just sort of riffing there?
You know, in college, I made brownies with applesauce for my future wife, and they were pretty good. They weren't bad.
Okay, I want to hear more about Josh's college brownies in another podcast.
That's a podcast in the feedback show. We'll talk about.
Okay. So here is the boy. What's his name? Sam?
Yeah, his name is Sam, apparently.
Okay.
He seems so craven.
Now, Sam, is he Jesse's kid or no?
Yeah, he's okay. Jesse's kid. All right.
And so he ends up following Carol in, and she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I wanted cookies. Wanted cookies.
But you wound up here, and now I got to tell my mom. She's like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
do anything but that.
Yes. I was trying to write down what she said as fast as I could. She says, like, well, if you tell your mom.
I have most of it written
here,
down.
Give it to me.
Yeah, she says that you have to keep it a secret. And he says, but I have to tell my mom. I tell my mom everything. And he says, she says, especially you can't tell your mom, because if you do, one morning you will wake up and you won't be in your bed. And he says, where will I be? And she says, you'll be outside the walls, far, far away, tied to a tree. And you'll scream and scream because you'll be so afraid. And no one will come to help because no one will hear you.
Hmm.
Well, something will hear you. The monsters will come, the ones out there, and you won't be able to run away when they come for you. They will tear you apart and eat you up while you're still alive and while you can still feel it. And then afterwards, no one will ever know what happened to you. So don't tell anyone what happened here, and you can get cookies, lots of cookies. So I think I know what you should do. That's great. That was amazing. Carol is the best. Carol is the best character on this show. Full stop.
Yeah, that was great. Melissa McBride, it was fantastic in that
scene.
She's been fantastic the last two episodes since we've gotten to Alexandria. And it's so, you know, we've seen Carol the badass, but now she's like undercover badass.
It's great. Yeah, Carol, badass blouse. Like, Carol, she's great. She really is. And you and I were talking about this, I think, on a feedback show or a couple podcasts ago about how we were feeling a little down on Carol this season just because she started off so strong and then she had a string of episodes where she was kind of just barely there. And I feel like, man, they've given us some great Carol recently. And this Cookie Monster scene, I think, is one of her best scenes and, you know, really one of the best scenes that this show has ever done. My jaw was on the ground the entire time. It was so good.
Yeah. Fantastic job by Carol.
So what do you think? Is little Sam, is he going to tell his mother what happened with the cookies? Or is he just going to shut up and eat the cookies?
Boy.
And what would you do?
What would I, if I was him?
Yeah, if you were.
If I have a choice to wake up beyond the wall or to shut up and have cookies, I think I'm going to shut up and have cookies.
You're going to eat the cookies.
I think so.
Probably a good plan.
That's a good plan, I think. But we'll see what Sam does.
Yeah, hard to say. But I mean, it's a terrifying threat if you're Sam, if you're this little chubby boy who all he wants is, you know, these sweet applesauce cookies. And the only way to get them is to lie to his mom about what he saw, seeing the bad lady stealing the guns. So it's going to be interesting to see if that comes out, and if so, how, and if it does come out, what that does to everybody else, or if he just keeps the secret, which would also be great. And we just get several episodes of Sam eating cookies.
All right, let's go through a couple of different odds and ends. Some potpourri from tonight's episode. Rick finds a walker with a W in its head.
W for Wiggler, right?
Wiggler, yes.
I did it. That was me.
That was you? Why did you do that?
Because I want to mark my territory, man.
Okay. Did you do that to a lot of zombies?
What's that?
Did you do that to a lot of zombies?
Everyone that I come across.
How many did you come across?
Just the one.
Okay.
All the other ones were the wolves that did that. But that one was mine.
Yeah. Why would the Wolves write W's on the Walkers?
I don't know. I mean, this is a group that we
marketing?
Are...
Marketing? Is it a...
it's a branding
viral
thing.
Marketing?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Alexandria has the A and the Wolves have the W's. Yeah.
Flash mob?
Yeah. The Wolves flash mobbing outside of Alexandria, that would be pretty good. We do know that we have video camera capabilities now, right? So maybe they could film themselves.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we know so little about these, you know, these Wolves other than they seem to exist. We've heard about them. We've seen things like the Wolves are nearby, spray painted around. We've seen bodies of Walkers with their heads still intact with W's etched into them. So we know that this is a thing that has been happening. And as for why they do it, as for what it is they want, what they're capable, all of that stuff, we have no idea. But this is not just on the show for no reason, obviously. We will get some sort of answer on the Wolves. I would be shocked if we don't have anything, you know, more concrete on the Wolves by the end of the season.
Let's talk about the horse versus the Walkers.
Oh, man, it's tough to be a horse on
Buttons
the
Walking Dead.
Buttons the horse. It is tough to be a horse on The Walking Dead.
Now, Josh, did Buttons the horse commit suicide?
No, I don't think so. Why do you think Buttons the horse committed suicide?
Because you have Aaron, who's been trying to wrangle the horse. Uh-huh. You have Daryl, who is unsuccessfully trying to wrangle the horse, yet... 8 Walkers were able to bring the horse down.
That's 8 individuals versus 2 individuals, Rob.
All right, but
it's hard to escape 8 individuals.
If that horse just ran for it, like for whatever reason, the horse just stood there.
Yeah.
Like, you tell me a horse can't bolt, like, just...
You think Buttons had enough? No more! No, wait, yeah. Hold on. Do that again, please.
And then just go off. Like, I felt like Buttons offed himself.
Oh my God, your Buttons impression is rivaling your Walker impression.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Buttons offed himself. I mean, maybe. I don't know. If that's how you want to read it, I'm not going to stand in the way. I won't stand in the way of your suicidal horse theory.
Well, why did we get a horse on The Walking Dead tonight?
It's, you know, it was to drive home the point about Daryl, who is a guy who is a loner, who feels very often that he works best when he's on his own. Every time he bonds with people, bad things happen. You know, he's fiercely loyal to his group, but now his group is in this safe community. He doesn't trust this quote unquote safe community the way that everybody else is seeming to, or at least seeming open to trying. And so Daryl is like the horse just galloping around out in the wild by himself, thinks that that's the better course of action. But as we see with poor Buttons, you can be on your own for so long, but eventually this world is going to catch up with you. And I think that that's the lesson that Daryl is starting to learn, if he doesn't outright learn it by the end of this episode, that maybe it is, you know, like, I do want to be out on my own a lot, but maybe there is something to be said about coming into the fold. And I think, you know, the idea is if only Buttons had come into the fold and had come into the walls of Alexandria, he might not have ended the way that he did. And I think that that was just supposed to be sort of representative of Daryl's story from this episode.
Yes or no? Next Sunday night, Walking Dead episode 14, will Buttons the horse be in the chat room?
Almost definitely. I have to imagine that by the end of our live show tonight, Buttons the horse or some variation thereof on Twitter.
We'll
exists,
be on Twitter.
And we will be hearing from Buttons the horse in the Walking Dead feedback show. And ideally through voicemails, which is postshowrecaps.com/voicemail.
All right, we'll see. Yay or nay for next
yay
week.
Yay or nay.
All right. Where was Enid, the Carl's love interest?
I know. Yeah. So much talk about Enid last week in the feedback show, and not a single sighting of Enid in this one. I don't know. Maybe she was not in Alexandria for the dinner party. She must have been outside.
Is it possible Enid is a mythical creature that can turn into a horse?
Oh, man. Well, if so, then Enid's toast. If that's the case, then Enid just got shot in the face by Aaron.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know.
All right. Let's talk about Spencer. Spencer here. Ooh,
the
Spencer Monroe.
Sun douche yeah, too.
So this is R.O.T. Douche's brother, right?
Yeah, so this is Sun Douche, Spencer, who is, I guess, he's the one that Deanna was saying is going to be in the Bell Tower. Sasha wants to be the sniper in the Bell Tower, but Deanna says, nope, it's going to be Spencer. It's going to be my son. So he's the guy who answers the door for Sasha.
Another handsome guy here.
Handsome guy. Listen, handsome douche. You know, all these douches have something good about them.
All right, so who is he a love interest for?
Well, I mean, the only person he's interacted with so far is Sasha. Sasha is...
It's too soon after Bob.
Maybe, you know, maybe, but maybe not. Who knows? Maybe this is exactly what Sasha needs. But I think that I can't think of who else this is being set up for.
Michonne?
Otherwise, I feel like, yeah, maybe. I could see that.
Michonne marries into the Deanna family.
She would love that. She would really love to be part of Alexandria royalty, I think. She really wants in on this thing. That would be good for her.
Are you still digging Deanna?
Deanna. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I think it's Deanna.
I believe it's Deanna.
Deanna, not Dina, like your friend Dina.
No, as in like my friend Counselor Troy.
Your friend Dina would actually be good at running Alexandria.
She would be good. She would be a good person to take in the zombie draft.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like you did take her in the zombie draft, but maybe I'm misremembering. Anyway, yeah, I'm still into her. I think she's a good character. I really like her. I liked her husband Reg, the wall builder. I thought he was good. I like all these new characters that are popping up here in Alexandria. I like Olivia, the woman who wants to make prosciutto. I thought she was fun.
Her interactions with Sasha were classic.
They were pretty good. What do you think, just to go back to something that I brought up to you a few weeks ago, was this idea that maybe the solution to our supersized cast on The Walking Dead is to just supersize the cast even more and to allow some of our extraneous characters to blend into the background. How's that working out for you so far?
It's okay.
Are you really missing Tara right now?
No.
Or are you okay that we are without Tara for a few episodes, but she could pop up again, and in the meantime, we've got somebody like Spencer or Olivia popping up?
You know, and I like Deanna.
Yeah, she's good, right?
She's like, look, we're building a society here. I'm gonna put you. You're gonna be in the police department.
You guys are gonna be the constables.
I got my son. He's gonna be up there in the lookout tower.
Don't mind him. He's a real douche.
My one son, he's a douche. This other one, he's pretty good.
He's not so bad,
that guy. Yeah. So we'll see. All right. You ready to get into some questions?
I was born ready.
All right. Scott, let's fire away with our questions here on The Walking Dead Live. Of course, you can send them in via Twitter, hashtag PS Recaps, or on our YouTube channel at postshowrecaps.com/YouTube. All right. Let's go with our first question of the night from Will Northrup. Josh, you want to give us this one?
Sure. Will writes in, so Sasha's just going to waste all the bullets. Lead therapy. Yeah, she's just kind of shooting.
Lead therapy.
You know, she's just going out there and shooting anything she can. Pretty mean of her to shoot all those pictures of all those nice people.
Yeah, right. What's her problem?
I mean, I guess it's good target practice, because it's like, if you could shoot, you know, the picture of the nice, you know, happy family and get all of them in the head, I feel like that's good. That means your shooting's good. Good shooting. It's just kind of mean spirited, I feel like.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Next question up is from Cabin Douche.
Cabin Douche, alive and well.
The great Cabin Douche says, if you hung two walkers upside down side by side, would you have M&Ms?
Okay. Well, if you had two walkers with the W's carved in their foreheads.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. A little bit. I don't feel like they would be as tasty. Would not be as tasty.
No.
What's your favorite M&M, Rob?
As far as color, I could not be able to tell you the difference between any flavor.
Well, we can talk about that separately.
Do the M&Ms have different flavors, or they're just colored?
There's different types of M&Ms. Is this news to you?
Oh, no. I thought you meant like red, yellow.
Well, I'm interested in that as well, because I feel like just psychologically everyone has a favorite. Like, I like the blue M&Ms.
Yeah. The green ones, I hear, they make you smarter.
Is that true?
I hear that's an urban legend. They make you smarter if you eat the green ones. I like peanut. I don't want to overthink it.
Classic peanut. You don't want to go for like the crispy.
No.
Save the crispy for Boston, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, give me some crispy M&Ms.
Yeah, it's his favorite.
Or these W's. Yeah. Lauren Garcia says, is Sasha turning into the old Bob? I'm talking about the old pessimistic Bob that used to be an alcoholic and was all doom and gloom.
Yeah, I miss that Bob. Drunk Bob was a great Bob.
Yeah.
So if Sasha's becoming drunk Sasha, I think that'd be good. Although I feel like we're getting drunk Abraham.
I mean, was Sasha boozing?
I don't think she was boozing, but she's definitely very mopey. And it's like gotten beyond mopey at this point. It's, I don't know. It's pretty sinister what's going on with her.
Yeah. I did like how they did that sort of like overstimulated montage that she had, like of like people like biting into chips cut with like, you know, tainted meat and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's like that was like the, not to spoil it, but like it kind of reminded me of the Better Call Saul breadstick scene. Like, I just thought it's like hearing people like eat food and just like thinking of like Bob's leg getting eaten. Yeah, I thought that was a good scene. I liked everything with Sasha this episode. I really like what they're doing with her right now, actually.
Okay. All right. So let's go to Mark Singh. What does he have to say?
Sure. Mark Singh writes in, shouldn't the gang be weary of their scheming being monitored? Have they forgot about that audio equipment already? Are they being bugged? Are we talking about Rick and Carol and Daryl? Have they been bugged?
It seems so odd because, you know, Aaron was like ultra precautious when he was meeting them. But once you get inside Alexandria, it's really a minimum security facility.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of is. Well, I mean, we've covered this. You know, the people who are, and it's been covered by the show, too. I think it's, you know, an important part of the whole point of what's going on with Alexandria. It's like the people running this place have been extremely lucky. And
that's
Rick
what Rick said.
Yeah, doesn't Rick say, like, the luckiest thing that's ever happened to these people is that we're here now?
Oh, I doubt that. I believe that's a sign their luck has run out.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because I get where he's coming from to an extent because, you know, Rick and his people, they know how to survive. And it's like they are, you know, they're walking in and they're like, you know, they're the Rafa coming into their shelter and telling them this is no good. This is no good. You got to change this. You got to change that. So I feel like, you know, Rick's group, they can come in here and they can really size up what's going wrong with this place in a way that the Alexandrians themselves have not been able to see because they're too close to it and they're not seasoned in the same way that
Bob was
has treated these people and as Bob was, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think that Rick and Carol and Daryl, no, they don't seem too worried about being monitored, I guess only to the extent that that's why Carol was the one to go and get the guns because she can be invisible in this place. Whereas Rick is the cop and everybody wants to meet the new constable. And Daryl is the sketchy guy that everybody has their eye on. You know,
especially
Carol's just another blouse.
Yeah. Keith Dix. Well, Tobin, he's got his eye on Carol.
Yeah. What about that? Are we going to get a Carol Tobin Michonne Mance?
A Tomance.
A Tomance. Oh, that's terrible.
Keith Dixon wants to know, why are the walls support beams on the outside? That just seems so dumb.
Yeah, so, your wall beams are so dumb.
Yeah, who's Deanna's husband? Reg. Is Reg the wall builder so dumb?
Yeah, he's so dumb. Yeah, I feel like that is a bad call to have the support beams on the outside of Alexandria. I feel like there's a lot of things that need to be redone at Alexandria. Again, that's one of the possible reasons why they're very lucky to have Rick and company.
Is it true that the walls up outside of Alexandria were built by the first men and made by magic?
I believe that is true and that a guy named Brandon the Builder is primarily
No, Reg the Builder.
Reg the Builder. Reg Stark?
No, Reg Monroe.
Reg Monroe.
Okay.
Reg Stark Monroe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it Regard?
Regard. All right, what about Brendan Rydell?
Brendan Rydell writes in and says, did you guys see the street sign behind Rick in the last scene? The name of the street is Morgan.
Yes.
Oh, how about
that? Did you catch that?
No,
I did see that.
You saw that. Interesting. Okay, so, you know, this show does not want us to forget about Morgan.
Yeah, don't forget about Morgan.
No, I missed that. That's cool. That's
What will happen on Morgan Street?
Morgan will show up.
Hmm.
If we don't see Morgan strolling down Morgan Street, then this show has failed us all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emily Stobb says, do you think there's any symbolism between Daryl and buttons?
Yes. As I had said earlier, yes.
Yes.
I think that was the whole point of the buttons.
Okay.
Also, just to upset people who really don't like it when horses get killed on The Walking Dead, because it's been a little while, so why not kill some animals? Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's something we like to do here on The Walking Dead, is just to really upset everybody by killing animals. All right, this is from Spicy Wasabi. Spicy Wasabi writes in, who poses the most danger to the Alexandrians, Rick, Sasha, or Carol? That's an interesting question because I feel like they all present some danger to varying degrees. Sasha, I'd be worried about just because she seems really unstable. Yeah. In a very outward, obvious way.
The answer is Carol.
Yeah, I mean, with that threat that she she gave to the kid, pretty hard to answer otherwise.
Because Rick could have a nice life. Rick is like motivated to stay inside of Alexandria. Like, for Rick, it behooves him for this to work out, that his kids, he could raise his kids in like a nice place. For Carol, she has nothing else going on. And she has to, like, in out there, outside of those walls, she's like a total badass who is in charge
of stuff. Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Inside these walls, she's a total lame ass, and she's making chocolate chip cookies and threatening kids. Like, when she was out beyond the walls, she had a purpose. Inside here, she has no purpose.
The best thing about her threatening little Sam, too, is the fact that, I don't think that she would actually do this to this kid, but she's killed kids before. Like, she killed a little girl once upon a time.
Look at the flowers, Sam.
Yeah,
look,
you can't.
No, Sam, look at this flower I'm going to use to make in the cookies. Just watch this.
Look at the applesauce, Sam. watch the secret ingredient. Yeah. But yeah, you believe that she could do it. Yeah, I think Carol is the most dangerous for sure. Never trust a woman in a blouse.
Michael Rajpal, why is no one in Rick's group helping Sasha, who is suffering from PTSD? Well, who would be equipped to do this?
Well, Maggie kind of tried once upon a time, a couple episodes back, and that did not work. Is there a shrink in Alexandria? That would be great. I don't know who would be good right now. I mean, Father Gabriel. She could go to confession. In a perfect world, that would be great. But I mean, they know that Father Gabriel is a bit of a preacher douche, where he was the guy who had all of his flock killed because he was a coward. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Looks like Father Gabriel is going to get in the action next week.
Yeah. It seems like it.
Seems like it. All right. What about Kelly Kahn?
Kelly Kahn has an interesting question. At the beginning of the episode, I was wondering why it was just Rick, Carol, and Daryl forming the Blender Alliance. I would want Abraham and Michonne on my team. Which five characters would you want to be part of your alliance? That's a lot. Do you want to break it down to three?
Well,
trim some numbers.
I mean, I feel like outside of Rick, Carol, and Daryl, who else would you want? Like, I feel like those are the top three guys.
Yeah. I think that they got it right. I think Rick, Carol, and Daryl is a really solid squad.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a great tracker in Daryl. You got somebody who's willing to make, the tough decisions in Rick. And Carol is like the Melinda May of this group. She's the cavalry. So I feel like you've got your three right there. That's the big three. I mean, it would be, you know, once upon a time when Michonne wasn't so soft, I would say Michonne, but she's really lost her edge a little bit.
Yeah. She hung up the sword, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Don't you think that that's kind of cheating, by the way? Like, the rule is you can't have your weapons in Alexandria unless you rent them out, but Michonne can have her sword. It's like now a decorative piece. That seems like a cop out, don't you think?
I think so.
Like, you could turn your sword into an art piece. Then if I'm Sasha, I'm like, hey, my sweet sniper rifle is going up on my wall. It's art.
That's what Sasha had to do.
Yeah, it's like the art loophole in Alexandria.
Okay. Jack of all skills says, do you think that we see Morgan show up by the end of the season?
Yeah, you have to. I feel like, you know, it's indicative of the fact that Morgan has to show up because we get a question about will Morgan show up, I feel like, in every Walking Dead podcast we do. And that's not a slight towards anyone. It's because that question is very much on everybody's mind. Are we going to see this guy again? And I don't think that they set up Morgan at the very end of the very first episode of season 5 and again at the mid-season finale if we're not getting Morgan this season. And even tonight when we're talking about apparently there's a Morgan Street in Alexandria, you're not doing that unless Morgan is coming into play. Whether he comes into play in a big way or not, I don't know, but Morgan will be on the show by the end of the season. And I think that will be great. I miss Lenny James. Very good actor.
Do you think that Morgan will take Livia's cell phone and take a selfie in front of the Morgan Street sign?
I would hope so. You would think so. Like, I feel like, I don't know, Morgan, he was lacking some self-awareness when we spent
Awareness
meaningful amount of time. But who knows about selfie awareness is a good point. I feel like Morgan, in, you know, a perfect world, still has some sense of humor, and I feel like he would see that. But, oh, I gotta get this.
Yeah,
I gotta get this on camera.
Okay. All right. Take us to Will Northrup.
All right, Will. Once again, Will says, "What kind of constable lets both employees be off duty at the same time?" Fair question. Both Rick and Michonne were off duty. One of them should have been patrolling the streets.
Yeah, but they had zero constables before this, so I think they'll get by.
Right. This is still an upgrade over where they were.
Okay. Yeah. Michael Rajpal says, "The wolves have been foreshadowed for a few episodes now. When do you think that they'll show up?" Well, how many episodes left? Three?
Three episodes left. So somewhere in those three, you have to think, right?
Boy, the wolves have great marketing.
Fantastic marketing. Yeah, they're really building up their hype.
Yeah, they really are. It's just like hashtag wolves are coming. Wolves are here. I mean, really, that's just their brand equity is so high in the Walking Dead universe.
So hot right now.
They're so hot.
Those wolves, so hot right now.
Got to show up. Next week?
Next week. I don't know. Next week could be good.
I feel like it's a episode 15 thing, and then 16 is dealing with the wolves.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you just want to think about it in terms of like the Terminus formula, Terminus, like we didn't see Terminus at all until the penultimate episode of season four. I feel like the wolves could be a similar thing. And as agonizing as it sounds, I feel like the wolves could be something that we just get a little bit of a tease of this season and spend the entire off season just wondering who the hell these people really are.
Okay.
I feel like that could be the case, and it could be that we're building these guys up to be a big focus of season six.
All right. What about Jordan?
Jordan writes, Has Rick turned into Shane 2.0? He's even going after married women now.
Oh boy.
Yeah. See, I mean, a lot of people are wondering this. Rick has a little bit of a Shane thing going on, but I don't think that's necessarily new. I think that the ogling the married woman thing is a little bit new. But I feel like, Rick has been turning into the guy that he was afraid of Shane turning into basically ever since he killed Shane. So I don't think that has Rick turned into Shane as like a new question. Yeah. I think it's like, you guys have noticed that Rick is Shane now, right?
Is it like a Siler thing that's he killed Shane and now he's like,
he cut out Shane's brain and ate it. And that's how he gained his powers and his knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. I prefer the Peter Petrelli method, to be honest.
It's clean. That's just like picking up like the Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah, exactly. It's much better.
Okay. Brad S. TV wants to know, sorry if this has been asked, but where's Alexandria getting their power to run this town? Don't they have some sort of a grid, right?
Yeah, there's something. I don't know what the technical explanation is, but in the last Alexandria episode, they explained it.
Yes.
I feel like there was like some solar paneling or some nonsense. I don't know.
Something like that. All right, let's do a couple more questions.
All right, here's from Saratoga 1701. Rick lost his beard and Daryl appears close to getting his bike back that he lost last season. Could Alexandria be a way for the show to reset or get back certain things before the gang goes back on the road? Well, hopefully they're not going back on the road anytime soon. Hopefully that this Alexandria thing's going to work out. But is this a way to kind of reset the show a little bit where Daryl can hop on his bike again? And I don't know, is this a way to kind of get people back to certain elements that they were earlier in the show?
Maybe a little bit, just sort of like give these people like a little bit of just like an oasis here in the middle of, I mean, this show could go on for years and years and years. It's nice to see them. Okay. Maybe take a shower here and there, shave a beard. You know, you don't want Rick being like ZZ Top, four seasons from now.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you want him to be like that? ZZ Grimes?
ZZ Grimes would be a perfect name for him.
Yeah. I would like that.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
I mean, Daryl on the motorcycle, I feel like in the group, I feel like the motorcycle is going to be not relatively useful. One, it's loud. Only one person can ride on it. Wouldn't the motorcycle be the worst method of transportation in the zombie apocalypse?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not this is going to come as a shock, Rob, but I'm not much of a motorcyclist to begin with. But I mean, it was working out for Daryl for a long time before, back in the prison days.
Segway. We keep going back to it. Would be a very efficient. It's quiet. You could just be like,
but we're worried about how that thing's going to go off-roading. And I think
stay on the road.
Stand the road, stay between the lines. This is not a world where you color between the lines anymore, Rob.
Okay. All right. Let's go one last question from Michael Rajpal. What does he got?
All right. So Michael says, is Rick Breaking Bad conspiring to take over Alexandria, grabbing his pistol after Pete and Jesse walk by? Far cry from his speech to the governor in season 4. Yeah. And I mean, I think that that's the other piece of it, too. We've talked about how Rick has become very similar to Shane in a way. But, you know, this could be also a little bit of is Rick kind of becoming governor-ish? Is this a little bit of like the rise of the Ricktator?
If anything, I feel like Rick is coming back from Breaking Bad, right?
I think that's a possibility.
Like he wants to stay. Like the beginning of this episode, I felt like Rick was like hey, we gotta take this place over if we need to. And I feel like by the end of the episode, Rick's like,
Right, but I think that that's the question that the show wants us to be.
There's pretty girls here.
Yeah, I know. I feel like this, but I feel like the show wants us to ask, like, is he just going to, like, settle into the place that has the pretty girls, or is he going to take over the place that has the pretty girls? And I think that that's the question of how governor-ish is he becoming? Is he becoming a guy who is just not going to sit back and, you know, be ruled by these people? Is he going to become the ruler? I think that that question still remains out there.
Rick, how governor-ick are you?
The governor,
pay the bill.
Pay the bill. Your electric bills—they're overdue.
No, we've got plenty of electricity here in Alexandria.
Yeah, how do you think the governor would like Alexandria?
He'd love it.
He'd love it.
Oh, this place is great. Thank you, Deanna.
Oh, it's a prosciutto. I can't believe it.
Livia, your prosciutto is amazing.
Yeah, I would ship the governor and Olivia. By the way,
whoa!
I feel like that'd be a good match.
Yeah, there you go. I like Livia.
She's great.
She's good. She's a good character.
Good character. I like her too.
All right. Livia and Eugene. Is that a match?
Where was Eugene in this episode?
I don't know. That he was probably just hanging out.
Do you think he was at the party? We just didn't see him?
Probably. Like, where else did he go?
He's making out in the closet somewhere with someone?
Yeah, I don't think he has anywhere to go.
7 minutes of Eugene.
7 minutes of Eugene. All right.
That's about all you get.
Josh Wiggler. Do you have a hashtag for this episode?
Oh, do I have a hashtag for this episode? It's got to be something with the cookies, right?
It's about, either hashtag Cookie Monster Carol. What else should you say?
I like that. I think hashtag Cookie Monster Carol is good.
Cookie Monster Carol. All right. So, only 3 episodes left to go here, Josh.
That's it. Yeah, this season is it's getting close to the end here. End of the line. Lots of interesting things happening. It'll be interesting to see where they go with all of this. Hopefully, the final 3 episodes of season 5 of The Walking Dead, it's going to be all dinner party all the time. That's all I want from these final 3 episodes.
It's you want another dinner party?
Yeah, I want another dinner party. I want everyone. I want her. What was her name? The one who's after the pasta maker?
Mrs. Niedermeyer.
Yeah, I want Mrs. Niedermeyer to get her hands on the pasta maker, and I want a lot of drama to come out of that. I feel like there's a lot of potential there. Right, so that's what I hope the rest of the season is.
I think season 5 finale, we have, it's Christmas time, okay? We celebrate Christmas in Alexandria. There's a Yankee swap, okay?
Oh, nice. I love the Yankee swap.
Mrs. Niedermeyer gets the pasta maker. And then Eugene swaps it.
And then she kills Eugene?
And then they all just get eliminated. They get kicked out.
They all get kicked out of Alexandria?
Yes.
Does she have that much sway?
Yes.
Wow, she's got a lot of pull.
Do you know how long we've had to hear Mrs. Niedermeyer talk about the pasta maker? Eugene?
Oh, yeah, The Walking Dead Christmas special sounds like it's going to be a great episode.
I think it'll be great. All right. Josh, great stuff. But Josh, have you been following? I know you've been traveling. Have you been able to watch any of House of Cards season 3?
Not yet, and I'm dying to. I really am, because I feel like at this point I've been spoiled on stuff, and I don't like that. So I got to get on it soon.
Josh, The Walking Dead is so close to Washington, D.C. Come on.
House of Carol's Cookies?
House of Carol's Cookies. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we are cruising right along for... A House of Cards recaps daily here on Post Show Recaps. I believe number 9 just went up today. So if you're following House of Cards or whenever you get to it, don't forget about our House of Cards recaps here on Post Show Recaps.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. I really do want to catch up on that show as soon as possible.
Okay. Plus, don't miss our weekly recaps of Better Call Saul and Justified.
Yeah, Antonio Mazzaro and I are going to meet for the first time in person this week, and we are going to be recording a Justified podcast together, so that's going to be really fun.
Wow.
Really looking forward to meeting my main man, Antonio. So yeah, that final season of Justified has been delightful, been really, really good, so lots to talk about there.
All right. Everybody, have a great night. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre.
Oh, well, we should also mention, are we going to have time for some Walking Dead feedback in the near future, or is this going to be tough? You've got a big travel week coming up.
I think it's going to be too tough for me, but
I might be able to wrangle something together. Listen, you found a lot of people to substitute for me over the past couple of weeks, Rob. Maybe I can find somebody to pinch hit for you on the feedback.
All right. So you send in your Walking Dead feedback, TWD at Post Show Recaps. All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.